Peter, and thanks again to everyone that's read. Help us open a meeting. Take this opportunity to thank those who have joined us, welcome those who have joined us since we first started. Warm welcome to any visitors and a massive welcome to any newcomers that might be in a room with us. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So we do have a speaker tonight, and I'm actually going to hand you over to Jay, if he can do it, to introduce him. So Jay, would you like to introduce our speaker?
I'm an addict. My name is Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
I met this individual a couple, 3 years ago, and actually a little longer than 3 years ago, in a marathon meeting. He was invited to come to the marathon meeting from somebody in his region, and he showed up. It was New Year's, and that's going on well before that. Time starts to melt together. But it was way before the pandemic. And we sat in that marathon meeting for a day, going back and forth. He attended meetings. He got involved in the marathon meeting. And we talked after the marathon meeting. We talked before the marathon meeting or during the marathon meeting. And we've done service all over the globe since the marathon meeting. And he is somebody that's important in my life. I do sponsor him. And that relationship has, I've probably grown more than he has as far as the back and forth, but I've seen him grow immensely. He has gone through many things in the time that I've known him, and he's still here. No matter what, he hasn't used. And that's the bottom line for any of us. No matter what, we learn to not pick up. There is no reason to use. And I'm glad to call him brother. I'm glad to call him friend. And whenever he calls me, if we go back and forth, whenever he calls, I always get something out of him. Without further ado, Vaughn, would you share with us?
I'm an addict, and my name is Vaughn.
Hi,
hello, Vaughn.
Hiya, Vaughn.
Welcome, Vaughn. Glad you're here, man.
Thank you, Steve, for opening the meeting and everybody else who's did service via reading. Thank you, Jay, for that introduction. Also, thank my higher power for another day, too. I'm gonna try my best to get through my share. Hi, I'm, which you're going to hear a little bit later as why I am not in my share in the manner that I am this evening. But I think my responsibility at this moment is to allow my higher power to help me give any newcomer or any member struggling some sort of hope. Some sort of strength. This is how members have helped me in my recovery. And I always thought that I couldn't get through a challenge. So just as Jay said, no, I found this platform from a member that we open up an online meeting in the beginning of 2019 in South Africa. It was our very first online meeting in our country. But the work started in 2018. It was him and myself, and trying to figure out how do we do it? How do we get it at it? They can't make a face-to-face meeting. Still hear a message of recovery. We went through that process. And I know my sponsor was also involved later on, just before COVID. But it's not about that. It was about getting introduced. It was being in this platform where I started to find members who may have not gone through the exact same challenges as me, but were like-minded like me, who had the same desire to stay clean. I experienced that at that marathon meetings. It will happen. And I fell in love with it on my very first meet. I haven't looked back yet. I haven't stopped yet. My life has changed, especially last year when I got a job. And I couldn't make as many meetings as I did. I couldn't speak to my sponsor as regularly as I did. But we always had time to talk. And talking is a very important thing for me. Relationship is very important. Because I never felt a part of anything since I was 14 years old. And I always had to prove myself to others. Because there's always something wrong with me as Vaughn. That's why people always push me away. So I had a very low self-esteem. I never believed in myself. And I could never just be me in front of people. I always got up into the wrong things. Gangsterism. Number one, played a very big role in my recovery, in my using, changing my name, or be associated with a different name. I couldn't be born. Harmed a lot of people, very close to me. People of society. Nobody told me that's what drugs does. All they told me was try this one. No one told me the mayhem I would have caused to get that one. But I'll always be on the floor from that one. And always good. It is okay. Got things under control. Not a bomb yet. What those guys underneath the flats that are smoking a particular drug. They make them fall. Dirty. So I knew if I don't touch that drug, I don't have a problem. But people that I grew up with and I started using with always knew that it was never a good idea for me to use. I didn't see it. Those people left me as I got more qualified in my music. They didn't want to be around because of the chaos I created, the chaos I brought to them. Later on, I just found out that I wasn't recovered. They couldn't be around me to see me hurt myself. They couldn't be a part of that mayhem and to see me the way I was. And then when I lost my dad, I closed off myself to everyone and everything and myself. I became an addict all into the day. In an addict that was consoled with guilt, shame, destruction. But drugs didn't do anything for me anymore. I wasn't using to feel high, but I was using to die. And in desperation, through a false suicide attempt, seek help. That is the first day that I surrendered to my drugs. I didn't know that word. But when I was starting to write my steps, I started to see that that was the day. Because our readings tell us, in desperation, we seek help. We seek hope from the craziest of sources. The woman I beat, the woman I belittled, the woman I took her flame away. My mom was going through the death of her husband to still see her son die. Lonely but sure. There was no resemblance of her son. But I asked him for help. My journey started on the 9th of April, the 10th of April, 2009. I have never looked back. I've never picked up again. I'm grateful for that. Journey only start. How can one find a way of life when they don't know how to live? When their life was so controlled by God. Everything started and ended with that. Now, I mean, in treatment center. And I don't want to pick up. And I know. But Vaughn, you're in a treatment center that is basically imprisoned. You can't use. But I'm an addict. We find ways and means to get more. And one, he was drunk. I spent the time finding some way or trying to understand what's next. Because everybody else was still losing. Nobody came to come and see me that I used with, but the people that I harmed, they came. And then I found and heard all the colleagues of mine. And people coming to serve. People just coming, free of charge.
Hey y'all, I'm JJ, nice to meet you guys. Hi JJ, how you doing? Sorry if I'm late to this.
It's a 3 a.m. JJ.
OPF. Am I late? Are we late?
Oh, okay. Bye-bye, JJ.
Excuse me?
Don't need this. Let's carry on. So at this meeting, HNI meeting, and they came and they explained to me what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. They came to explain to me all that I need to do is make a meeting. And things are more wild than things will come to. Do you know what happened? I heard nothing what they said. Because one of the drugs of my choice was telling me that I need to go to a meeting. But what they did is they got me interested in getting to another meeting. You see, woman was also part of my drug of choice. So they got me to a meeting. And that's where I heard the message. That's where I heard the hope. But I received the smile as a spiritual awakening. This was a long time since I smiled. I came into Narcotics Anonymous on my first day. I was so grateful for their welcome. I was so grateful for their smiles. I was even more grateful than an addict picked up his hand for 10 years clean. Because I asked the question, oh, did you spend so much time without picking up a drug? Because I don't know. I can do that. I was very fearful. But I didn't want to use drugs. For 6 months of my recovery, I was unhappy. And it's very important that I say that, because I was very unhappy. I was clean, but I was very unhappy. I wasn't working. Everything I was doing was never honest. I was writing my steps, but I wasn't really honest. Because I was too busy judging. I was too busy comparing. I was still doing what I was doing. I was 14 years old. Looking at other people's life instead of mine. Wanting to be like other people instead of being born. But I didn't know how. And there was two readings that drew me. That I constantly were thinking, we do recover. Wow. They all told me, Vaughn, you just got to keep coming back. Make as many meetings as you possibly can. 90 meetings in 90 days. Get a sponsor. Write the steps. But I was not trusting you. And I didn't know how to be honest. Told me that this is an action plan. Do the work and everything will come. I've been doing the work for years and nothing came. The house is different. I met the old time. was the most honest person during my time in my early recovery, because he did something that nobody else could. He showed me honesty by telling me how wrong I am viewing Alcoholics Anonymous, how I'm not giving this program a chance. When my first sponsor left the country and I was stuck without a sponsor, I was trying to do the steps. I really didn't like that sponsor, especially the way he was making me do the steps at that time. It felt like everything I did was condescending. I was doing something wrong. Because even though I was trying to answer those questions to the best of my ability, it was never good enough for him. I hated step one. So when I found the courage to ask that guy who belittled me to be my sponsor, man, did I truly see and learn the power of one addict helping another. That member taught me about the NA basic text in ways of understanding it that I couldn't ever do at that time by reading. So I'm not a reader. We sat and we spoke and we spoke and we spoke. But everything that was going on with me, I questioned about my view on what I was reading and what I was listening to at a meeting. Who's an addict? Why do I have to call myself an addict? Not a recovery man. He simplified it to a way is that I started to put the addict first before my name. Because I understand that term. I understand that I have this behavioral quality that makes me get addicted to something very, very easily, especially when I don't have faith in myself, when I want to control. I started to ask the questions, why am I caught? Why do I need to be at this meeting? Or simply put, if I'm not, I will die. And the end result is the drug part, but it's not the behavioral part. We don't talk about the behavioral part, which is always starts first. I act out. And I experienced that in my early recovery. Because you see, every morning when I used to go to his home before work, and we'll have coffee and he'll teach me stuff about life, and I'll see it how he applies his recovery in his life with his family. And I wasn't experiencing that with my family. I wanted to be more by his home than my home. I used to go into his home, and next minute he would say, "Hey, Vaughn, you're not doing anything now. Let's go for a drive." And I'll find myself, I'll step in an end. I'd find myself at a treatment center. I never ever asked my sponsor or sponsors sense about service. I never learned to do so. I did service after wanting to go to the shop. I'll end up doing service. So my first 4 years was all about service, giving back, finding myself, being a part of society. I didn't know what the meaning of anonymity was. How could I, if I used to be around old times, they'd never ever practice that. And I understand today it's important to keep one's anonymity, but I personally choose not to, because I don't know how to. There was 5 meetings in my city. If we all kept our anonymity when we were doing service in a park, where our family members came through and friends came through and they saw us and they said, "Oh, boy, it's nice what you are doing," we would never have the amount of meetings open that we have today. In the place I love. But as I said, the behavioral part, I spend so much time dealing with life's issues inside the program and not at home. And I was never, ever happy at home. I'll write my steps, I'll have a conversation with my sponsor, and he'll start explaining stuff to me, getting me to understand why the steps is the way they are and how to apply the steps within my life. We will go through the traditions and try and figure out why is the traditions so connected to group. And then over and above that, why is the tradition so important to me in my day-to-day life? When I am at work, and they talk about laws, and they talk about policies, and they talk about things that you have to do to get paid. See, I don't understand why tradition is the spine of our program. What is it there to teach me? Be a productive member of society. To understand right from wrong. And service isn't just about another addict. Service isn't just about serving others. It's about how do I serve when I come home? How do I be respectful at home? How do I put other people's, my family, my mom's health over mine? There's an argument that I have with some old timers. You know, when we speak with the newcomers of today. And I say this one sentence. When I came into Narcotics Anonymous, the old timers told me this is a selfish program. And the old timer will turn around and tell me, "Boy, this is a selfless program." And I'll always turn around and say to him, "Yeah, you're right. But how can I be selfless if I don't come here for one? How can I help anybody? And I'm still sick, and I can't help me. So I have to put myself first all the time. I have to clean my house all the time so that I can invite others to come in and spend time with me. So I can go and be of service and share and fellowship and experience the joys of life. And then, how crazy it is when our behavior kicks us up our backside. I left this program. I thought I was too much for this program. I was the it for this program. And I lost my way. Simply put, I disrespected this program. And it took the old timers to come back in the way that they knew how at their time was to squash my ego. And I'm grateful for that. Because when I came back to this fellowship, I did not look back. I never looked back. I started the beginning again. I wrote my steps honestly. I shared with my sponsor honestly. I served this program, not asking anything in return, but just freedom. Freedom. Of finding myself. I've gone through a lot in my recovery. I've gone through a lot of challenges in my recovery. And there's times that I didn't want to use. But every time I jumped in the car to go to a merchant, I ended up at a meeting. And that's my higher power that I still sometimes battle to connect with. No, I'm getting too close to an end, and I'm going to keep quiet very soon. You know, I'm going through stuff, and I'm not going to go too much into detail with it because I believe I need to speak to my sponsor first. But I just need to share where I am now. So I've gone through everything, right? I've gone through so much change in my life, from cancer, my son being autistic, and I've been told how much of a failure I am, to losing my marriage, to my middle daughter being a cutter in cell phone. And through all of that, you helped me stay clean. You helped me find the strength to carry on. You help me to believe we do recover, and at no instance do I need any reason to pick up. I went back to my literature I read. I went back to my step work, and I wrote. I went to my traditions, and I tried my best to keep working them in my life. I serve, not in big positions like I'm king of NA. I serve just so that I could feel that belonging that I'm a part of. I never did. And we come back to the medicine when everything was feeling like it was too much for me. My higher power brought me to your meeting. Now I call it my meeting. I'm a part of. I found my sponsor who's opened up my life, my mind, to a whole different part of Narcotics Anonymous. From history to viewpoint. I've met very good people, members that I call brothers and sisters. I know there's times I don't reach out. I understand it. And I'm sorry. I think about you all the time. My brother, at this moment, is drunk. He didn't go and fetch his daughter because he was too busy using. And I had to deal with that shit. Because that's expected of me. Because I'm the addict. He got his stuff ordered. He's got his stuff sorted. I can't even help his older brother. And I have that conversation with my sponsor. And I know the answer. Can't do nothing. That's his journey. And shit will hit the fan when he deserves and he realizes that there is hope. I got a wife on the day that I heard my daughter started cutting. She told me she was pregnant. So I got to deal with that. Now she got a baby. And I have to deal with my wife, my mom's resentment towards her when it comes to my children. And over and above all of that, I'm losing my job. So I got to figure out, how do I get finance to help my family? Oh, that was a lot of a pity party. But everything made sense to me at a meeting yesterday. When I sat in that meeting and I heard the member share his experience, strength, and hope, and he's an old timer. And shared his life around death. Who the hell am I to sit in a pity party? He went through his journey, he stayed clean. You all go through your journey, you all stay clean. That's just hope will give me. An addict, any addict, stop using, lose his desire to use, and find a new way of life. Promise of freedom from active addiction. I'm not like my brother today who is creating havoc as I'm in this meeting. I have a program. I have a program and a belief in a higher power that my life will change. There's no reason to use drugs. I'll get through it. Even though the insanity in my mind is telling me to believe otherwise. I believe in a power greater than myself that keeps restoring me to sanity, that his will be done on me. And just like everything else, that life is thrown, Narcotics Anonymous is constantly shown, is constantly proven. You come back to the basics of this program. You do what you need to do, and it starts with the literature, it starts with your sponsor, and it begins with meetings. You share your truth, you be honest, and you serve. Because doesn't a disease hate or love when you feel alone? You're never alone unless you choose. And I'll end just like that. I really hope and pray that we got something. I'm very sorry if I did. I'm very grateful that you all are here, all 12 of you, and including me, 13 of people who has touched my life. Not just part in the 14 years, but since the time that I found online meeting. Thank you for continually saving my life. Because I know my disease is exactly the time is around or sitting next at this on the other side of the door in my room, waiting for me to misbehave. That I can go find a drug to calm my shit down. I don't need it. Because you have saved me. You have helped me to realize that I just need this meeting. Thank you for allowing me to share my name with one of the addicts.